Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving, and what follows. Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 1, the verses 35 through 51. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, beginning with verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has gathered us poor sinners together by renewal in this evening hour within the walls of thy house of prayer. And may it be a house of prayer indeed. Well, to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. And thou hast a church upon the earth that needs thy dear Son, as that atoning, that praying, and thanking high priest at thy right hand. Then by renewal, then thou grantest many reasons to thank thee, where thou hast provided, cared, spared for another day, and that in so far as possible, remember the sick and those that care for them, that we may receive a place under thy word and thy eternal testimony, and that is for a purpose, and may that purpose be realized in this hour. Then we have heard wonderful things out of the Holy Scriptures concerning the preaching of John the Baptist and of the disciples, that they were given to follow thee, that they were given to inquire of thee, and then they were pointed to the Lamb of God, and they may sit under that prophetical teaching. Lord, may souls have come up in this evening hour that have begged a little for that prophetical teaching, that they may be instructed in the mysteries of salvation, that they may receive a smile from thee, a special word, an encouragement, a correction, each according to their several needs. Lord, may it please thee to use us as clay in thy holy fingers as a little instrument, that in this evening hour that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee, to be drawn by the cords of love, and then they shall unconditionally follow thee with the confession of their sins and a vehement longing and jealousy to belong to that blessed people of God and needing the pardoning of their sins. May it please thee to grant unto our boys and girls a new heart that may fear thee, love thee, hate sin, and a heart that needs to be washed. And our young people, the precious choice of a Ruth, and for the middle-aged, perhaps resembling Levi, so busy gathering the riches of the world and not thinking, not so concerned about their never-dying soul, although realizing that it is not well and that it needs to become well, that one-sided wonder needs to take place. May that take place in this hour. And for our elderly ones, it has become late, but it is not too late. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace, a privileged people like that Capernaum of old, wherein thy providence, that thou wert mindful of us, and we may have thy precious word, where it may be declared that the chiefest of sinners can be saved, and that sinners shall be saved by the work of a triune God. To that end, do help the consistory, who is sufficient to those things. Bless the labors on the Lord's day. Bless the instruction to the youth and the visitations. Do help fathers and mothers with their weighty but also a beautiful task to instruct their dear children in that aforesaid doctrine, a praying of thee, and that those labors may be blessed, that it may become manifest that the seed of thy word is fallen on well-prepared hearts. Do remember and bless our Christian school. Remember all those that labor therein. Continue to grant traveling mercies and bless thy word to the hearts of young and old. May it please thee to incline hearts to become teachers in our Christian schools, where the need is great, the need for more servants in thy vineyard. And so we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee, the established congregations and churches. Oh, do continue to remember and uphold, where there is persecution, so many countries, and what maketh us to differ. Then we commend unto thee the Jewish nation at war, also the country of Ukraine, and that the eyes may be enlightened to behold, to understand, and to experience by thy grace that the Messiah has come also to save self-righteous Jews. We commend all mission work unto thee, also our mission field, thy servant and the team. Oh, do remember land and country. The federal government is not sitting at the moment. Thou knowest the circumstances. We have departed so far from thee, and thy church is no longer the light and the salt as it ought to be. May that become the guilt of the church, and that there may be repentance and a turning unto thee, and that the prayers may be multiplied, Wilt thou remember the government of this province and of the cities and also of our town? And then we commend unto him who was president, has been inaugurated in the past week to become the president of that large country. And may it please thee to grant strength, courage. May he be given to bow his knees and open thy word, and that he may be used to turn the country back to thy word, to thy law, and to thy institutions. Thy judgments are hanging low over the earth. Then we commend unto thee all the elderly ones, a husband and father who hopes in this week to commemorate that he shall become 88 years. He is frail and feeble, but still in the land of the living. Do remember him, together with his dear wife, for body and for soul. A husband and wife also in this week hope to commemorate a special milestone that thou was cared, spared, provided, and protected for 61 years on life's journey and holy matrimony. May it please thee to grant a humble and a broken heart. Remember the family circle, and we also commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Remember our care home, their residence, and those that may lovingly care for them. Lord, do remember the sick and afflicted, the daughter in the hospital. Then by renewal we ask thee, may it please thee, to grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding. Then by renewal thou art calling in a special way, O Lord. Do convert her where she is still in the day of grace. Wilt thou continue to uphold the parents, the family circle. Remember all others that are under the physician's care, the crosses, the burdens, those that struggle with the weakness of mind when it becomes too much. May they be granted to open thy word and to bow their knees. Do remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and parents to the grave. Do remember half orphans, O Lord. Do place underneath thy everlasting arms, and do bless the family circles, that love may abound. Thy word is central place, and that we are bound together with the old ways and with the old truths. And now, Lord, by renewal, we humbly ask thee for thy help. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion, a grant that with freedom and liberty and joy, with an overflowing heart, we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. May we be given to speak as a dying man, to a dying people. Oh, do teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, because by nature in our deep fall we have lost it all. But now thou hast a people where there may be restoration. Lord, what we forget, forget it not. Bless what awaits and needs thy blessing. And may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our transgressions for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 243, the first five stanzas. In vision to us saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. And what follows? Psalter 243, the first five stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, the question and answer 31. Why is he called Christ that is anointed? Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continually intercession with the Father for us, but also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. Lord's Day 12, the question and answer number 31 speaks of Christ, the official name of the mediator, with four thoughts. First, Christ's rich anointing. Secondly, Christ's prophetic office. Thirdly, Christ's priestly office. And in the fourth place, Christ's kingly office. Christ, the official name of the mediator. Christ's rich anointing, and that to a threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. Beloved congregation, the last time we have heard of that precious name, Jesus, which means Savior, because he has come to save his people from their sins, and we have heard it, Reverend Hellenbroek, he explains it to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be brought to that supreme good. It's the only way we can be saved. Jesus has come to save sinners. And now the question, we have heard it in this morning, that Christ has declared that he has not come to save the righteous, and we must not misunderstand it, because Christ has come to save also the self-righteous. But when the Lord begins, what do the self-righteous now become? They become a sinner. They become a beggar at the throne of grace. It is the work of the Spirit to show unto us, to teach us, our lost condition, that by nature without God, without Christ, and without hope. And congregation, in that precious name, Jesus, there lies such a false salvation for the chiefest of sinners. Oh, then we have heard it, that John the Baptist by the river Jordan, that he may point him out, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And now Jesus declares that he saves and that he delivers. But now in this evening hour, Then we are called to consider the official name of the mediator. And then, boys and girls, last time we have used the example of King David. Then David was his personal name, and King was his official name. The prophet Jeremiah was the name that he has received from his father and from his mother, but the prophetical name that he has received from the Lord in his youth. And now the official name, the name of Christ, declares how Jesus saves a sinner, and that with the glorification and harmonizing of all the attributes of his Father. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth for whom those three offices, they become so necessary and so precious, and by the grace of God they may become a student that sitteth at the feet of Jesus, and those true students of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, their teacher, the Bible as their textbook, and then they learn more and more how ignorant they are, and that they have to learn so much, unlearn and relearn. And do you know what becomes the wonder for those students, boys and girls? That the teacher does not send them away, but he has so much patience with his students. And now concerning the name of Christ, that is Greek, and that is Messiah in the Hebrew. And then we read of that name Messiah. We have heard it out of the scriptures. Oh, that John and Andrew, that they have followed Jesus. We have heard in this morning of a Levi that has given heed to the call, follow me. And we have heard that word follow or followed in this chapter. Oh, then should it not be the question whether that has now taken place? That unconditionally, with a heart full of love, with longing and desire, we are given to follow the Lord. And then John and Andrew, oh, Jesus has turned the Lord as a people, oh, to receive a look from above. And then they have asked, where dwellest thou? And then they have conversed about heavenly things. And then Andrew, with a heart full of love, we find different places in the scriptures that was the life of Andrew. And then we read, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Thus, what a blessed work, what a blessed day for the disciples. The Samaritan woman in John 4 has also declared to Jesus, when the Messiah is come, he will tell us all things. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit. And now concerning that anointing in the narrower sense, that is to receive qualifications for the office, but in the broader sense, then it speaks of two matters. And then in the first place, for an office, there is an appointment. That is that one is singled out to labor for the Lord. And then the second, that is that anointing, and that such a one may receive the qualifications to labor in that office. And concerning that anointing, we have many examples in the Bible, thank boys and girls. Then the priest Aaron was anointed to be priest. David was anointed by Samuel to be king. And Elisha was anointed by Elijah to be prophet. And of David we read in 1 Samuel 16 that Samuel has anointed him with a horn of oil, and then the Spirit of God has come upon him. And now concerning oil in the Old Testament, that is a type of the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah 4, then the prophet was given to see a vision to olive trees with two golden pipes to the candlestick. And then that golden oil is flowed into the candlestick that it may give light. We have the parable in Matthew 25 of the foolish and wise virgins. They both had lamps. But then we read, when the bridegroom has come in the middle of the night, that the foolish virgins had no oil. And now concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has been appointed from the never-begun eternity in both his divine and human nature to be the mediator between God and man. But now concerning that anointing, that does not concern his divine nature, because his divinity is perfection, and that needs no anointing and no qualification. But that anointing that has taken place in the fullness of time concerning his human nature. And now concerning that anointing, we read in Luke 1 verse 35 that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. But then in a fuller measure, we read specifically in Luke 2, the verses 42 and 52, that there was an increase in his graces and in his stature. Oh, what a humiliation for the Son of God, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, that he was willing to assume our human nature. Who can fathom the wonder that he was willing to be an infant child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a stable, and laid in a manger, persecuted, and that he had to learn to speak, that he was taught by his parents, we read in Luke 2, that he has sat in the temple before the doctors. Oh, what precious words! Wished ye not that I must be in my Father's business? And that continues in the state of his exaltation. Oh, what a comforting thought, congregation, that he is active in his Father's business at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he is gathering his church by word and by spirit. Have you asked for it in this evening hour, my unconverted fellow travelers? Have you asked for it? Or do you not think it's going to happen? Because the Lord, he converts by word and by spirit. He has promised a special presence in his house to dwell and to work in the hearts of sinners. Boys and girls, have you no ask for a new heart? that you have said, Lord, I've asked for it so often already, and my heart, maybe it seems, becoming harder, more evil, but may it now take place that in this evening hour, that thou may look upon me as thou wast done with the Levi, and that thou may draw me, that I may be given to follow thee and taste of the good things of the Lord. Oh, wish ye not that I must be in my Father's business, for the people of God, to instruct them, to lead, to guide, to comfort and encourage, and to correct them. And further, he was anointed, as I read in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, when he was baptized, the Holy Ghost descended in the likeness of a dove, and the Father spoke, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then Christ's anointing, that was in a full and a perfect measure concerning the offices, this only in part, the Lord grant sufficient. But with Christ, it was a perfect anointing. And then he was anointed in the first place with wisdom. And that was so manifest. The end of the Sermon of the Mount, we read in Matthew 7, verse 29, that he spoke with power and with authority. There were none that taught like him. And how wisely he has instructed his church. Oh, how tenderly. For poor sinners, for needy beggars that have come to Jesus. Oh, what tender questions. Let us mention Mary Magdalene. She stood at that open grave, a heart full of love. By the grace of God, she was given to follow her master. But she was so distressed. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Oh, what an examples we could mention. Think of Mary. Three times in the Bible we find her at the feet of Jesus. Then secondly, then Jesus was anointed with power, manifested in his miracles, no impossible cases. He has healed the sick, has even raised the dead. And we have heard in this morning of the man with the palsy, that he has forgiven sins. And in the third place, he was anointed with holiness. We read in Hebrews 7, verse 26, of that high priest, holy, undefiled. And what a testimony at the end of his life, that he was a righteous man. We read of that anointing. Oh, in Proverbs 8, verse 23, I was set up, and that word set up can be translated as anointed, from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And in Psalm 45, we read that the bride has declared, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Declared in Isaiah 61, verse 1, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to bring out of prison those that are bound. Oh, what a precious text for a poor and a needy people that cannot save themselves. Oh, Church of God, then that threefold office of Christ, so necessary and so precious. Our second thought, Christ's prophetic office. Because Christ was anointed to three offices that you can remember, boys and girls. When your father and mother ask you on the way home or at home, what does the name Christ mean? Then you can give the answer, anointed. Christ was anointed by the Father with the Holy Ghost to three offices. And those three offices, they are prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, we do find a few that were anointed to two offices, of course, all in creation. They're Adam and Eve. They had that threefold office. Knowledge concerning the prophetical office, righteousness concerning the priestly office, and holiness concerning the kingly office. But through our deep fallen Adam, we have lost it. And now officially, then we find a few in the Bible that officially had two offices. Melchizedek in Genesis 14, the high priest of the Most High, and he was also king of Salem. David, he was king, and although not officially, but he is exercised by the Spirit, the prophetical office. We read it in the Psalms. Jeremiah was priest and prophet. But we find none in the Old Testament that officially had three offices. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was prophet, priest, and king. It was prophesied, if we read Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Then we can trace many similarities between Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. Although Moses has not brought the children of Israel into the promised land. And in the Bible, many names that refer to that prophetical office. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, he is called Counselor. In Malachi 3 verse 1, the messenger of the covenant. In John 8 verse 12, he is called the light of the world. Thus in the Bible, in the Old Testament, then there are many names that refer to that prophetical office. And then the instructors, they have stated to be our chief prophet and teacher. That is different from what they have written of his high priestly office. Because concerning his high priestly office, our only high priest, but from prophet, our chief prophet and teacher. Thus that implies that there are more teachers, but all under this chief prophet and teacher. And then we think of fathers and mothers, teachers in our school, and office bearers. And now what does he teach as prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption? And then the question is, have we now, by the grace of God, learned to sit at the feet of this teacher? When the Lord begins that precious work of grace, then we come under the prophetical ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not no we mean him, know him, but it has become different in our life. Then God and everything that pertains to God that receives a special and a central place in our heart and in our life. We have heard it this morning with Levi. Then he has followed the Lord Jesus Christ, said under his prophetical ministry, and under that prophetical ministry by the Holy Spirit, then the sinner is taught who the Lord is, so great, so majestic, holy, so good doing, oh, so patient and long-suffering. And then he is given to teach the sinner that he needs, because the Lord is so just, that he needs pardoning. And now under that prophetical ministry, they may sit with such delight, because he teaches so wisely, so tenderly, lessons which we cannot learn elsewhere. And along with that teaching, he grants a broken and a contrite heart, gives a confession of sin, a repentance. That teacher grants faith, hope, and love, because that hope upholds them. And then they are taught further and further concerning the things of the Lord. Oh, they are so glad when they may receive a little instruction. Think of Ruth on the field of Boaz. Then she is gleaned with such a delight, with the desire to go to Naomi and to show her what she has gleaned. But now we read in that prophetical office that our instructors have stressed the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Because under that prophetical ministry, then the sinner is taught with everything they may learn and unlearn, with everything they have experienced, and that teacher that grants many good, many goodly pearls, as I find in the parable of Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46. But then the sinner learns what their choice, what they have experienced, what their longings and what their desires, what their confession to the teacher that they are such ignorant students that it does not satisfy the Father's justice. It does not pay their debt. And therefore, so simply written, the secret will and counsel of God concerning our redemption. We read in Isaiah 54, verse 13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Who was our teacher, congregation? Then, of course, boys and girls, you will say, that is my father and mother, teachers at school, office bearers, and that is a good answer. But there are many more teachers in this world. We have heard this morning that Jesus said to Levi, follow me. But the world also cries and calls to us. And the world, with all their ungodly and unscriptural thoughts and the way of the world, with their continual teaching, can be a great danger that subconsciously, without even realizing it, that our thoughts come more like unto the world. That sin is no sin anymore, or not a great sin. That we call it weakness. And the world's teaching, of course, do not believe, or not so many believe, the providence of God. They speak of chance, they deny our deep fall, and they declare new ways what is now so necessary. That in the family circles, that the Bible has a central place, and that it is not only read, spoken about, prayed over, and then it is what saith the Lord. And the devil with his assaults and temptations, and now the necessity that God's word may not only have a central place, because those students of this prophet, of this teacher, then the prophet, he places his love in their hearts for the teacher, and it is true, they also need to be rebuked and chastised and corrected, and that is for their profit. As we read in Hebrews 12, but now those students, a love for their teacher, even with an uncovering lesson, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination than they love their teacher, the textbook that is the Bible, the house of this teacher, and that is God's house. They love his day. They love his people, everything that pertains to the Lord. How is it, congregation? With that love for the Lord and for his word, or do you still think it's a hard service? The Bible is such a hard book. Then the necessity, the prayer of New Year's Day. Do you remember, boys and girls? what the text was on New Year's Day. Out of 2 Kings 6, verse 17, all with that servant. And it can be in our day that we are so overwhelmed with everything taking place in the world. But then the prayer of the prophet Elijah, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Ah, we have heard of a Levi. That unregrettable choice. And now Levi has become a student of the Lord Jesus Christ under that prophetical ministry, and then we choose for him to be our king. But we need to be led into that priestly office. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 302, the stanzas 1, we shall sing 1 and 2, and if necessary, also the third. The Lord unto his Christ has said, in glory I enthrone thee, till all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. Psalter 302, 1 and 2, and if necessary, the third. Thank you. Christ, the official name of the Mediator. A Christ rich anointing, Christ prophetical office, and now thirdly, Christ's priestly office. And then the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundation of the other two. Because if Christ had not been that perfect high priest who has sacrificed himself a well-pleasing offering unto his Father to satisfy his Father's justice, and then it would not be necessary. Then there would not be one student, not one saved, not one under the prophetical ministry with a heart full of love, with those yearnings and longings for the things of the Lord. And then Christ is King. Then he would not have subjects. And now that priestly office that was so richly pointed to, typified in the temple worship, in the priest, the high priest, the sacrifices. And we read in Psalm 110 verse 4 that he would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, explained in Hebrews 7. And now priests, they had three special duties. What did the priest in the Old Testament boys and girls do? They sacrificed, they prayed, and they blessed. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and the instructors, they have stressed it to be our only high priest. And we have heard it from Lord's Day number 11 that Jesus is a perfect mediator, our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us. Christ, as priest, has offered his human nature on the altar of his divinity. In the Old Testament, when an animal was brought, then there was the laying on of hands upon the head of that animal. And children, I think you can understand what that pointed to. Then such a father or family, with the placing of that hand upon the animal that symbolized that the sin was placed upon that animal, and then immediately that animal had to be killed, the blood gathered, the blood sprinkled, the animal placed upon the altar. And so, reverently speaking, the Father has laid his hands upon his dear Son, placing all the sins of all his people upon his dear Son. And then in the state of its humiliation, then judicially, Christ stood guilty before his Father. Oh, in that sacrifice, there lies such a fullness for sinners to be saved. Oh, are there a few in my midst, laboring with the burden of sin, cannot deny that you know what it is, with such a delight, with such a hunger, was such a thirst to sit under that prophetical ministry, to hear things that are not all strange. Many times hope revived, faith strengthened, and also that love enlivened, but my sins, we have heard it. Then also in this Lord's Day, then by renewal, may be declared, behold, the Lamb of God, without blemish, upon whom the Holy Father has laid all the sins of his church. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, such a free and such a full salvation. He has cried out, it is finished. But not only to sacrifice, then the instructors and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. Who is that us? Is that all people know? Read in John 17, pray not for the world, but for those which thou hast given me, that is thy chosen church. And we do not know, they belong to the secret things of the Lord. The necessity that the prayers are multiplied. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, this Lord's Day, 'tis declared what we need. We need a prophet, priest, and king. And I read in Ezekiel 36 that the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. There is still a church to be gathered. Therefore, the world may still stand in the year 2025. And now that intercession that is so beautiful portrayed in the Old Testament with the high priest, with the names, 12 names written upon the breastplate that hung upon his heart, and then the high priest also 2 stones, one on each stone, with 6 tribes on each. Does that mean the high priest carried the names of the 12 tribes upon his heart and upon his shoulders? A beautiful emblem of Christ who sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And then the high priest also blessed the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, as we find it in number 6, the verses 24 through 26. Our forethought, Christ's kingly office, prophesied, Psalm 2, verse 6, yet will I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And now that king, the instructors, they have written, and also to be our eternal king, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us, in the enjoyment of that salvation. Church, may taste of the good things of the Lord. It is true. Here below it is only in part. What shall it be for the church above? Delivered of all first place of their flesh, the world and the devil, that eternal king. He is a mighty king. He is a merciful king, such a wise king, He is such a rich king. He is such a patient king. And now concerning that kingly office, then let us leave that fourth point. We shall not describe it further. But let us make that a point of application and of examination. Has he now become our king? We can speak of his prophetical office, and we can speak, according to the scriptures, of his priestly office, but now the proof that is concerning his kingly office. Having now chosen the Lord for king, as a Levi has done, because he has left all and he has followed. Levi did not say, Lord, if I may still have this or I may receive that, then I will follow thee. No conditions. Have we been drawn by the cords of love? Do we love the King? Do we love his word? Do we love his people? Do we love his day? Shall become evident in our life. Oh, young and old, this King is so worthy to be served, to be honored, and to be glorified. With this King, we shall never come out ashamed. It's true. The King tries his people, tries their sincerity, whether they are only following and serving him for his gifts and for his benefits, or whether it is for the King himself. Ah, the Lord has a people. Notwithstanding the evil within their heart, the temptations, the difficulties, when it comes to the test, that they may say with the Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And with that vehement desire of the psalmist, what in Psalm 145, verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee, even if it is with our tongue. But thou dost require a heart that corresponds to our words, that thou wast given in other Lord's day, another soul's mark a day, unto us and our children, the opportunity to come up yet a few words to speak. And we humbly ask thee, may thou have blessed thy word. Well, to be the after preacher, may it be turned into prayer. And, O King of thy church, that it may please thee to increase the number that love thee and serve thee, of the number that needs the pardoning of all of their sins, the number that may be students at thy feet. And thou wast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou so remember in this week? Remember the mothers at home with the children. Remember on the way. Remember at work. Remember at school. Remember also our young people that attend institutions of higher learning, and were different thoughts, so contrary to thy holy word, are brought forth. Wilt thou place a fiery wall round about them? Wilt thou keep us under thy good and kind protection? Keep us from sin and temptation. Oh, do keep us from an unprepared death. Wilt thou bless the instruction to the children in the evening of tomorrow? Bless the house visitations and bring us together as a congregation within the walls of thy house for a weekday service. May it now please thee to dismiss us in thy favor. Bring us safely to our dwellings and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 427, the 8th stanza. Thou art my God, I will extol thee and magnify thy majesty. My God, in glory none excel thee. Thy praise be to eternity. And what follows, Psalter 427, the 8th stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.